Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Over at the parsonage, we have a drawer that is filled with files. Imagine a file cabinet, right? File cabinet filled with all sorts of important papers. There's like the vet record for the dogs. There's our high school diplomas. There's, I think, my initial call documents are even in there. It's a place that's sort of set aside for important papers. Papers we might want to go back and look over again from time to time. Things we need to know where they are, maybe at a moment's notice. Now, important papers don't really go into what is like the general paper pile. You know, like you bring the mail in and you sort of throw it on the counter, right? And then if you don't really look through it right away, it sort of stacks up. It's just sort of the general pile of stuff. And our general pile of stuff is in the kitchen. But my diploma is not in the general pile. The vet records are not in the general pile. My initial call documents are not in the general pile. Those things are saved for a special place. Now, if you want to look at the other side, we also have a fire safe. Inside the fire safe, we keep things like our birth certificates and our social security card and things that are even more important. And if we want to go the other way again, when I got my weekly sort of credit card offer, that one came in the house and went straight into the trash can because that's where I keep the least important of the documents. I'm sure you all have a similar system at home yourselves. But what this shows us is how our beliefs are intricately linked to what we say and what we do. You see, if you think your birth certificate is important, you will put it in an important place. If you think it is unimportant, you will throw it in the trash can. But this doesn't only apply to documents either. Maybe a little bit of a different example is coffee. If I'm tired and I think drinking coffee, if I believe that drinking coffee will increase my productivity and keep me from falling asleep, I'll make sure to drink my coffee on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and the whole week long. Why? Because I believe that coffee helps me when I'm tired. And so believing it leads me to drink it. My family. I think my family is very important, and so what do? I invest myself. I invest my time. I invest my resources with my family. My belief that family is important influences how I act, what I say, what I do. This is sort of what like Jesus says in our gospel text for this morning. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." I think it's pretty safe to say that all of us gathered here this morning love Jesus. We all love Jesus, and so naturally we want to keep His word. We want to keep His word in the place of importance. But what word is it? What word of Jesus do we want to keep? And how do we keep it? Well, of course, Jesus is telling us what His word is. We know pretty much firsthand that the words are the words He's speaking. You know, those red letters that you see in your Bible, they're the words of Jesus, the things that He preached, the things that He taught to His disciples, the things that He said. But Jesus isn't only talking about the red letters. He's talking about the entirety of Scripture. You might remember how John's gospel begins. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the entirety of the Word of God. Every word of the Father is Jesus. That means the things that were spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament is Jesus' word. the thing spoken by the apostles after Jesus' ascension is Jesus' word. For our Savior himself tells us that all scripture bears witness about him. And so for you folks gathered here who love Jesus, you who believe Jesus' words are important, it means you must believe the entirety of the Bible. All of the teachings which God has given you. And it means keeping God's word in an important place in your life. Keeping God's word in love for him specifically means spending time in the Bible. Keeping his word isn't simply knowing it or believing it. Because remember, belief is great, but belief drives us to action. If I believe something, it influences how I act and how I speak. So it means if you do believe that Jesus has died for you, if you do believe that Jesus shows his love in rising for you and forgiving your sins, if you believe that his words are for you, then you will act a certain way. You see, love for Jesus isn't something we can just set aside Monday through Saturday. If Jesus' love and his dying and rising has worked its way in you to create love for your Savior, then every single day, every single moment is one where the love you've received shows itself in love for your Savior. Every word, every action, every interaction with someone else in this life finds its source in what Jesus has done for you. You see, whether we realize it or not, Jesus' word is the most important thing ever. The scriptures that God has given us are the most important thing in this world. Because they tell us everything we need to know about God, who he is, what he has done for you. And there is absolutely nothing that is more important than what God does for you. Specifically, what Jesus does for you through a cross and empty tomb. You know, the one who believed this, the one who knew this more than anyone else, was Jesus. Jesus said he loved the world. He said the Father loved the world. But that wasn't it. You see, if you look at Jesus' life, if you look at what he does, first, he is sent to this earth. For in showing the love, God sends his only Son into our sinful world that he might save us. What's more, but Jesus, as he lives in this world, he sees all of the sicknesses, all of the ailments, all of the garbage that we have to experience. And he doesn't only speak nice words about them, but he does something about them. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. Jesus backs up his words with action. What's more, but his love displays itself for you as he bleeds, pours out his blood from a cross. His love displays itself for you on a hill in Jerusalem where everybody could see Jesus dying on the cross. His love displays itself for you as he endures the wrath of God. The wrath that you and I deserve, only Jesus takes it onto himself instead. His love displays itself for you as he bursts forth from the empty tomb, as he pronounces you forgiven. That is love. Not mere words, but words that align with action. Which brings us to today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the official birthday of the church when God sends his Holy Spirit to the disciples that the Holy Spirit might empower them to be God's people, that the Holy Spirit might empower them to remember God's words, Remember all of the scriptures, everything that Jesus said, everything he did. And this Holy Spirit, too, is an expression of Jesus' love. For Jesus loves you so much that he sends you the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that works its way into your heart to give you faith. Faith in these words of Jesus, faith in his death, faith in his resurrection. And that faith creates a profound love for your Savior. The Holy Spirit is what gives you a love for Jesus. It's just like on that first Pentecost. It's like we heard in the children's message this morning. A loud rushing wind. I can't promise a loud rushing wind to burst in through the windows, to come in through the doors. But God still sends you his Holy Spirit in much the same way. He sends wind out of a pastor's lungs, across his vocal cords, over his lips, that you might hear words that are dripping with the Holy Spirit, words that are dripping with God's love for you, with what Jesus has done. It happens every time you hear the scriptures read. It happens every time you hear a sermon preached. The Holy Spirit comes to you to remind you of what Jesus has done, to remind you of God's word, that you might keep it. That you might keep it in an important place in your life. You see, this is Pentecost. But every Sunday is Pentecost. Because every Sunday, God reminds you of who you are. You are one for whom Jesus died. You are one for whom Jesus rose. You are forgiven. You are God's child. You are one whom God loves with his whole heart. It's a promise from God to you. And God has not yet broken a promise, nor will he ever. That is why he comes to you every Sunday. That is why he comes to you through word. That is why he reminds you of your baptism. That is why he feeds you with his body and blood. It's that he might keep his promise. That you might have forgiveness, life, and salvation today and every day into eternity. Now here's the truth, though. Jesus doesn't have a fire safe. He doesn't. At least there's not one recorded in Scripture where it says Jesus put his birth certificate into a fire safe. He doesn't have a safety deposit box at the bank where he can keep his most treasured possessions. He doesn't have a special file cabinet either. Instead, Jesus keeps you. Jesus keeps you, his most treasured possession, in the safest place he knows, in the safest place he has. In the church. He keeps you safe in the remembrance of his word, so that you might endure to life everlasting in his promise. He keeps you in himself as he comes to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He keeps you in the remembrance of what Jesus has done in his love for you. For Jesus has bled for you. Jesus has died for you. Jesus has ascended for you. Jesus has risen for you. And Jesus even now sends you his Holy Spirit that you might have faith. Have faith and have love for Jesus, both now and into all eternity. Happy Pentecost. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.